I'm not going to. All right, can you not carry it around? Mm. Hold it and then move it on. Okay, right. I've volunteered to kind of like share this bit because obviously a lot of the questions will be directed to Steve, so it's kind of hard for him to kind of keep an eye on what's going on and answer the questions at the same time. Really, kind of before we even started with this, I just wanted to say, because I think I'm speaking on behalf of everybody in this room, really, just to say how much we appreciate Stephen and Lisa and Stephen's leadership, his care for us all, the way he kind of like puts himself out to be at the right place at the right time. I know everybody probably in the room is kind of a bit concerned about him, wondering how on earth he manages to do it. And we know that it is the grace of God. But I just wanted to say on behalf of everybody in this room, and I'm sure everybody would agree, that we honour you, Stephen and Lisa, for your amazing leadership and for your lives laid down for us. So before we start, any kind of questions or anything like that, because it's important that we're really honest and ask the questions that are on our minds. But I think we need to remember that God's given us an amazing leader and he's given us each other. And it's awesome, really. God's amazing giving us each other and such an amazing leader. So, yeah. Okay, so hopefully you've all kind of had a think about questions that you want to ask. We've put, Stephen sort of put a list of possible topics that you might want to ask so that that give you a bit of a lead on what sort of things you might want to ask. I'm just going to throw it open, really. Does anybody have any questions in the area of finances or giving? Can you put your hand up if you've got a question in the area of finances or giving? Be honest, be open. Think, what do I want to know about finances, the church finances or giving? You must want to know something. You all give money to the church. Go on, John.
Because of the work without evangelism, the building, the church vision for what is the church vision, but work with the poor, you need a certain income. The more income we've got, and the better we'll be, if that's the correct word, or more efficient or whatever, to work with the poor, because Stephen spends a lot of time visiting people like me, but he spends a lot of time. Does he lose financially and working with the poor and doing the Alpha course and all the rest of it? Does, I mean, time costs money in some instances. So do we have enough income coming in?
Miles, do I?
Yeah. So, really, with finances, what I want to do is give testimony to the glory and the kindness and the grace of God. Really, is what I'm going to do. So, and I'm going to try and do my best. And Gina will correct me if I get some of the figures wrong. Is that all right? But probably the first thing I want to say about finances is to say thank you. Is to say thank you, because Community Church Blackburn gives incredibly, and that is you. That is you. And the actual, for the size of church that we are, so we've probably got about 30 or 40 adults, the giving is absolutely incredible, and it's sacrificial giving. And actually, every time I kind of see the collection plate go around and I see cash going in it, it's a real sacrifice, and it really humbles me. Actually, it's so. First of all, accept a pat on the back, because you'll give. God smiles at the giving at Community Church Blackburn, because it is out of this world. Yeah, and it really is, really is. So let me tell you a story. I went over Christmas. I went through kind of the historical finances of the church. And that went right the way back to I think, 2002, 2003. And just, I was being nosy, really, and sorting them out. And financially, Community Church Blackburn has always really, really, not struggled, but there's been many, many years where it's run vast deficits of cash. So it's really, there was a period of time where the church kind of became very, very large. And this is 10, 15 years ago. And then kind of ended up with some form of kind of, reserves, really. And then over the period of time, they reduced bit by bit, and they got eaten up bit by bit, to the point where the church was really looking at cost-cutting, saving. Over this period of time as well, one of the things that the church maybe wasn't doing correctly is giving to God. And that's giving, so that you give to the church or you give to God personally. But we really believe, and the leadership really believe, it's very, very important to give to God as well from the church. So our objective, kind of 2 or 3 years ago, was really to make sure that church is giving to things that do not directly affect Community Church Blackburn, but for God's kingdom. So, for example, we've given, over this year, we've given to kind of Vineyard Church to help with the child storehouse. So anything that we see where we feel that finance, and as a church we can assist financially, we've given. Also, personal situations as well. So this is open to everyone. If there is an issue with finance where the church can assist you on a personal basis, we've tried to give that. And so far, probably for this year, when you look at the finances, we've probably given about 12% of our income away. And that's such an important principle. But 2 or 3 years ago, we started doing that as trustees and elders, and along with Andy Parr as well. And we started giving away. And we don't know quite how, well, we do, but you cannot outgive God. Yeah, you cannot outgive God. So the situation with the church was it had quite a large deficit. The income wasn't fulfilling the outgoings really on a really regular basis, and large things. The church had £50,000 set aside for a building fund, and when we reversed and started giving and really making sure that we're giving correctly to things like the poor and things like that away from us, God gave us another £50,000. Yeah? So we had £100,000 for a building, or set aside to a building. And then we continue giving. And God gave us the tax, what do you call it? The
tax relief
back for the £50,000. So we had more. God gave us more money, really. So the financial situation is that we have £100,000 set aside for a building. Now, we can actually, both parties have, for some reason, unlocked that £100,000. So we could spend it on whatever we wanted, obviously, to glorify God. But it's there as reserves, as £100,000. The church also has around £45,000 in kind of reserves. Yeah, but I don't want to, so which is wisdom, really. But again, we need to make sure that all the money that we have glorifies God. The turnover of the church, so your giving direct in income we have this year was around £50,000. Which is incredible, isn't it? It's incredible for a church our size of £50,000. And then our spending for this year was around £55,000. So this year we have run a £5,000 deficit, £5,000 or £6,000 deficit, but we've had some big setup costs, various different things. But again, we want to encourage, with giving, I don't want to preach hard tithing or anything like that, but go into business with God, yeah. Have faith with your giving, and watch what God does, yeah. But really, the church finances, as far as income and what we have as a church, we can't quite figure out how. Well, it's got Gina's smiling. So, but the important thing is that we just don't sit on it all and sit or whatever. Is that we use any finance that we have to glorify God. And it's a huge weight of responsibility to have to, because we will stand before, the leadership will stand before God and have to answer to God what we did with that finance, really. So God is good. God is very, very good all the time. Yeah, but yeah, so that's where we stand as a church finance. So is that a fair...
It is.
A fair object.
So any more questions about that? So
thank you. Yeah, just also to say, there was a question about... I think John was also partly asking about how much we pay Stephen. So the New Frontiers kind of policy, if you like, on the payment of leaders is that... we kind of pitch it around about the wage of a teacher. Okay, so a teacher in a school. So that's where we try and pitch it, somewhere in the wages of a teacher. So so Stephen gets about the wage of a teacher.
Yeah, to answer you, so I am not losing out financially. I am very graciously paid. Sorry, I'll say that again. Financially, I am very graciously paid. Yeah, so and it's in, you know, I'm not losing out. Does that make sense? In fact, you will see the figures, so you'll know. Yeah. So but yeah.
We do have figures. We don't have to show you them yet. Yeah. Because we want to get your questions first. Because otherwise, we'll be giving
them away. That's too easy. Go on, Carol.
Can I just ask a question? I know in the past we, as any New Frontiers church, had to give so much to New Frontiers. Does that still go to New Frontiers, or does it go to the Sphere?
Yes, I will answer that question.
It's going to keep us fit. I know, it is. So one of the things, in fact, one of the things that we were discussing at the leadership meeting is it customary for New Frontiers churches or Christ Central churches to give a portion of their income to Christ Central and New Frontiers, which is the kind of the body that oversees us and looks after us. Now, the discussion was, there were two questions, because the other thing we've got to remember is it is money that has been given, and we need to know and understand and be able to answer the questions for you. So we've not given anything to Christ Central yet. That doesn't mean we won't. But what we do want to know is we want to be able to answer you if you ask me the question, what does Christ Central spend their money on? Yeah, so I've been tasked to go away and speak to our oversight, to Rob Coleman, and get a... So if you ask me a question, what does Christ Central spend their money on? I could answer you, yeah, because we have an obligation to be able to tell you what we're spending money on. Is that all right? So we certainly will, whether we haven't decided as a leadership yet, whether we backdate or whether we take it for a period or what proportion, if at all, but that's what we're waiting for. Is that okay?
I think what I need to do, actually, I think I'll sit next to Steve. That might reduce the it might reduce the running about a bit. Right, okay. Oh. Network. We can hear you, but it needs to be recorded.
Oh, I see. Okay,
yeah, go on. You're right, I'll hold it. You're fine.
Well, I was just going to get back to the last question. If you get the teacher's salary, we're getting two for the price of one, aren't we?
Yeah.
That's all. It's true. Say. Yes, it is. Because we have Lisa as well. Yeah. Oh.
Can I answer about the finances? Something that we had, or we're in the process of doing, which I think you probably need to know about, is the £100,000 that we had given was sat in a kind of, it was a savings account, but it was basically a HSBC savings account, which is, I don't know what interest it would have given, maybe like 1% or minimal. So what we have discussed as a leadership is we want to glorify God and build God's kingdom with the finances that we have. So one of the things we're wanting to do, we wanted to invest that with Green Pastures. Now, what Green Pastures does is it doesn't mean we pay them money, is we give them the £100,000, and basically they will invest that helping people who are homeless, buying houses, etc. And the church will get a return of 5% a year. So that'll be about £5,000 a year, which is higher than any interest account that you can get. There is a slight difference because it's not a bank, it's an investment. So I don't think Green Pastures will collapse, but there is a slight different risk to invest in it with a bank, so we have to be absolutely honest. But it's so important that God has gifted us that £100,000 that we use it to build his kingdom. So that's what we intend. I don't think we've quite done it yet, have we, Gina? It's in the process. So if anybody does have an issue, please shout about it and we will listen. Is that okay? There are some leaflets about Green Pastures in the back. So if you want to know more about it, if you've got any questions about it, but that's what we intend. We don't intend to just leave it in a HSBC kind of current account. We want everything that we have to give glory to God, and that's really, and build God's kingdom. So we'll be, I think we'll house 18 homeless people a year, and we'll also receive 5% interest as well. So that's to give you that information.
Okay, any more questions about finances or giving? Please.
Can withdraw it. It's not just right. Okay. Right.
Go on.
Oh, I was saying, can we withdraw the money at any time if it's put there and we're getting £5,000 a year interest? Can we withdraw it any time we find that we have enough money and we want to buy a church?
So the answer to that is yes and no. Yes. So. If we get £5,000 interest, which is the highest rate, we're kind of pledging to put it and leave it with them for 5 years. Okay. However, I've spent a lot of time with Green Pastures, etc. And if there was a situation, I put this situation to them and I said, we might want at some point to use that finance to buy a building. If we find a building, we will need to withdraw it. And their kind of opinion was, of course we'd let you withdraw it, because if it's for God's kingdom, it would be ridiculous for us not, and wouldn't be in line with our values. So the answer to that is yes and no. So if we did want, it would be a gentleman's agreement, and there might be penalties of interest, etc., or whatever. But I'm pretty certain we would be able to withdraw it to, if we needed to buy a building. Is that okay?
Any other questions about finances or giving?
Thank you, Gina, for all your hard work, for all the financial administration and everything that you do. Thank you from all of us.
What about me?
Yeah, no, absolutely, because there's a lot of hard work goes into the finances. Any other questions about finances or giving? Okay.
So we will. The other thing I want to say is we will give you the details and a breakdown of it. If at any point during the year you want to know what we're spending money on, we have nothing to hide. Ask me or Gina or whatever, and we're quite willing to give you the details of what we're spending the money on. Regards the giving, there's only Gina really that knows who's giving what, and also that's with Angela as well, as a safeguard to it. But I don't know who gives what. I don't think it's a good idea for me to know who gives what, really, and it's quite a secret thing. Just to echo kind of Angela as well, the amount of work that Gina and Angela does regarding the trust, and Gina, the hours and hours and hours that it takes to sort all receipts and all sorts out. And we've got the coolest bookkeeper in the world, honestly. She's so much nicer than all the other church bookkeepers. So she does an incredible job. But at any point, if you're any, we're quite happy to, I'm allowed to say that.
No, absolutely.
We're quite happy to show you anything, really, to be quite honest. And that's important, because there has to be transparency. And that's it. If you do want to regularly give as well, go see Gina, because it's the gift aid. So if you do give, we can get gift aid for it, and gift aid is fantastic. or stand in order, or whatever you way you want to do. But really, I've nothing else to say, but you guys are amazing and God is good.
That's really only applicable if you're a taxpayer. So the gift aid, we get the tax back on the money. So if you're not a taxpayer, it doesn't really apply to you. I think probably it is a good time for, if you want to kind of give your sheets out, you can just have a look at them. If there's any questions based on that. Gina does the bulk of the bookkeeping for the church. Not yet, because that's got your time on. That's a later question. So Gina does the bulk of the bookkeeping. She does have some help with the part to do with salaries, because that's quite complicated. And we also send all the books, the finances, to an organisation called Stewardship, which is a Christian accountancy firm, and they audit the books. We have to, because our turnover is over 50,000, we have to send our books away to be audited, to kind of double check that everything is above board and pucker. So Gina does all the hard work, and then it goes to Stewardship, and they kind of like double check everything before it comes back. And that's a requirement of the Charity Commission. Just in case any of you wanted to know that, you probably didn't know, but I'm just telling you that anyway. Okay, everybody having a little look at that. Stephen's also done some figures, which we'll give you in a little bit, which tell you more to do with the percentage of spending in each area. The other thing that you possibly might want to know is that this tithe, the kind of tithe that we give, this money for God out of the income of the church, you know, that Stephen was saying that we want to give away a proportion of our income, and we want to be generous in that because God is so generous to us and we can't outgive God. So we know that the best way to be blessed really is to bless. But sometimes it's not always obvious who might need that money. So what we do is we have a pot. Okay, so all the time we put 10% of our income into this pot, so that whenever there is a need, whenever we come across a need, we've got a pot that we can draw on. So, you know, if we need to buy a microwave for Hammond and Manners or something, then there's a pot that we can kind of like draw on. And up to a certain amount, you have freedom to kind of like authorise it. And then over a certain amount, Stephen will consult with the rest of the leadership team to authorise the payment out of the pot, out of the giving pot.
We call it the God pot.
Yeah.
If you come across something in need, so I mean, Gina's very good at this, and just she sees something that we could just bless somebody as a church in a specific need, please shout. Yeah, so please approach one of us or one of the leadership team or whatever, because we want to be gracious and kind. And if we can bless people for God's kingdom, we'll do it.
Got to be somebody in our church. We have been giving some things away to people who've had, for example, somebody I knew had a house fire, and we made a gift to them. Not a tremendous amount, but you know, if you hear of anybody who is in trouble, and you know, a little gift from us would make a difference to them, let us know. Okay.
Any more questions on finances or giving? Now you've got some figures in front of you. That's baffled you completely now, hasn't it? Having figures.
So Andy's left now, so we had a deficit this year. Will that, if the income stays the same, will the expenditure have dropped from the time Andy's retired and we don't have the Beacon Centre anymore?
Yeah. Absolutely
so in other ways,
correct.
Will we have a
yeah, absolutely correct.
Expected yeah. This year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So our objective is to be not spend more than what we get in, really. That's what we'll be, you know, what a business would do. There have been some large setup costs. So, for example, there's been some large setup costs with New Day, large setup costs with some of the PA equipment. There's been some large setup costs with shutting down the Beacon Centre. So again, our objective is not to run at a large deficit. Does that make sense? So we want to be fiscally responsible in some ways. But obviously, on the flip side, we don't want to hoard money, and we want to make sure that everything that we have is giving glory to God and working for the kingdom of God. So the objective is that we stay within our means. Does that... Yeah?
Yeah.
Have we not got a microphone? Because I think some people are struggling to hear.
Are you struggling to hear? Are you struggling to hear?
Jeanette, it's Jeanette Strong, so she's...
Are you struggling to hear?
Oh, right.
I don't know whether we can rig up a mic. I don't know. Yeah. Anything else while we just sort... I'll just sort... Yeah, go on.
What I wanted to make... An individual donation to the cost of Alpha, say. Are you allowed to do that?
Yeah.
It wouldn't go into the overall
pot.
Pot, yeah.
Yeah.
But you could be specific and say, I'd like to donate to, except you can't give to the minister.
Yeah. That's fine, darling.
Yeah.
He won't get a penny of it. No. That's fine. If anybody does want to do that, or, you know, something's on your heart that the church is doing and you think, oh, I'd like to donate to that, that's absolutely fine. Yes, it would. But what I would do is I would mark it as gift for Alpha or gift for, so that... You could see. Can I just share with you all as well, where we've got on this list ministry gifts, that is not included in what we give away. So when we say we've given away as a church 12%, we mean we have given that away to people in need. The ministry gifts are what we give to visiting preachers, and we don't believe that should be included in what we give to God, because we believe that's church running costs. Okay, but in the part, yeah.
Sorry, church worker.
Yeah. It doesn't. I think the answer is it doesn't really matter who you give it to, as long as you label it carefully.
Right.
So if you put it in an envelope and put gift for Alpha,
yeah,
or gift for New Day, or gift for whatever. Then it'll go in the right pot, whether you give it to Gina or whether you give it to Stephen, or if you give it to any of us, it'll end up at Gina.
Right.
Whoever you give it to, it'll end up at Gina.
Okay.
And it'll end up in the bank.
Right.
But it'll end up in one of those categories as per what you've specified.
All right, then. Thank you.
Is that all right? Was that clear? She's laughing. Right. Any more questions on finances or giving?
Please don't be scared to ask anything, because I'm all prepared. But if you think of anything in the week, you know, if you think of anything in the week or a couple of weeks' time, you think, well, I want to ask her that, just ask me, it's not a problem. The ledger sheets, I've now given people that give, I've given you all a number, which means if you look at the ledger sheets, anybody can look at them and you won't know who's given what. So it's not a problem for me to show them to you any time at all. Okay, so if ever you do want to see them, just ask me.
Are the envelopes numbered by the person who it belongs to or the giving?
They can be, but what you can...
It's all right.
John, what you can do... is just stick your name on an envelope and just bung it in the collection. As long as I've got your name, that's fine. But then when I actually put it on the sheets, I anonymise it, if you like, so that anybody, if I showed, you know,
I've forgotten your name. Graham. How can I forget you, Graham? Honestly, if I showed Graham the ledger sheets, all he'd see is that number two's given this much, number four's given that much. He wouldn't be able to identify who gives what. Right. So it's all very confidential. Okay. So it's only myself and Angela who really know the ins and outs of it, because Steve doesn't want to know because he doesn't think it's helpful. And as long as Angela and I are accountable to each other, it's safe. Is that all right? Okay. Back to you, Ange.
Any other questions on finances or giving? Okay. Right, so basically Gina's the lady to ask. If you want to know anything about finances or giving, ask Gina, and she will usually know she'll usually know the answer, or she'll find out for you. Okay. Right, we'll move on then, for now, to leadership structure and team. Does anybody want to know anything about leadership structure and team? Any questions on leadership structure or team? Come on, think. You must have a question. Think. Go on. Oh, John, excellent. Right, Christiana had one then as well. I'll come
Is
back to you.
Is a published list of the leadership team for new people that come into the church like me?
Do you know, I brought that up at the last leadership meeting, that I thought we ought to have a list, and we also ought to have photos on the, not that I like having my photo taken, but I think we should have photos, shouldn't we, on the board out there to say the leadership team is such and such. We're working on it, John, that's the answer to that. Chris, did you have a...
One, two.
I forgot what it was.
No pressure.
Oh, that's better. Thank you, Jeff.
I forgot. Come back to
me.
I'll
record it.
I keep calling Stephen the pastor.
Yeah.
And he keeps saying, "Is our church worker?" And I can't get it out of my mind, because Stephen is our spiritual leader.
Yeah.
Now, you can't call a spiritual leader, in my humble opinion, a church worker.
That's interesting. Well, I happen to agree with that one, actually. I'll be interested in what Stephen says.
So, being a New Frontiers church... Have you got the phone?
It's recording.
Oh, it's recording now. Fantastic. So we're in a bizarre situation as a New Frontiers church, because our family of churches, what we believe is that the church is led by groups of elders. And we look to the biblical model of elders who led churches, groups of elders. So we don't have priests, or we don't have pastors so much. We don't have various things like that, but we have groups of men that lead churches. Now, when I first became an elder, so there was a team of three people. There was Dave, Andy, and myself. And we're down to me, really. So we're in a situation where that's not the norm for our set of churches. So what we do have, what's happened in the past is we've only had the eldership as a leadership of the church. And I don't think that's biblical either, okay? So what I felt with Andy retiring was very, very important to do is to kind of have a leadership team that is able to support, assist, help with decision-making, finances, and that's been made up. But does everybody know who the leadership team is first?
That was my question.
Yes. So the leadership team...
We did.
So, yeah, leadership team, stand up. Yeah. So take a right good look. This is the leadership team. Okay. So these are the people that you need to approach. If not me, if there's any issue or anything that you want to know, or just a question. Does that make sense? And we appointed the leadership team. Me and Andy prayed about it, and we also took consultation with oversight. And these were the people who we felt was appropriate to be the leadership team. So the biblical model for the leadership team is deacon. So go read deacon, and and in the Bible, in the book of Acts, and these guys are the biblical model for that. Yeah, so that's what we're looking at. Now, one of the big jobs, and what is a little bit tempting for this church to fall into, is that you end up with a church pastor, yeah, which is one man. And that is a bad plan, really. What we do need is men who are elders, really. So one of the things, and one of the big projects that we will be having, is bringing elders through into the church. And I will be praying about that. I need you to pray about that as well. I need people, all the site will be praying about that. And what we need to do to be healthy is to bring through eldership. Let me just explain what eldership is as well, when I've been asked the question. So it's a very distinct thing, and I am very distinctly responsible. I'll put it in four things. So I'm responsible for the theology of the church. So that doesn't mean you all have to agree with what I decide the theology is, but if you have a theological question, I have a responsibility to have thought about it and know the answer. Yeah, really? So I hold that. Or I would say, no, we as a church, we would believe this. That doesn't mean that you have to believe exactly the same as what the church believes. The other thing that I'm responsible for is to guard you from spiritual wolves. So if wolves come into churches and they've been into this church in the past, it's my job with a rod to smack them around and get rid of them. Yeah, that's the second thing that I'm responsible for. The third thing is kind of to hold and to push the vision of the church. You know, who are we as a family? What tribe are we? And that's something that is a responsibility at eldership. And the last thing is to keep the church true to God. Yeah, keep the church in the right direction with God. Yeah, now that's not just my responsibility, that will be the eldership. So it just so happens at the moment I am the eldership, which is not our way. Does that make sense? So over the preceding years, we will be really seeking God about elders, because we're not the kind of church that kind of parachutes people, ministers from the outside. So every 5 years we change. It'll need to come through the church, and God will provide. God will provide that. What we're going to say about eldership as well. So that's the plan. Does that make sense? So we are in an odd situation. That's why I get confused about what to call myself, because really I'm an elder of a church. Yeah. However, if I say that to people, they think I'm a Mormon. So I've tried to find words that people will understand. And the easiest one that I probably is pastor, when people are trying to understand what's going on, really, or leader of a church or whatever. So that's what I'm talking about to John. Are there any more questions about that?
Because you mentioned it, I just wanted to ask about the oversight. Who is our overseer or whatever?
So, nobody can tell us what to do as a church. So nobody from the outside has the real authority in law or procedure to come and tell us exactly what to do. So we're not like a Baptist church or whatever. We're really accountable to each other, and we're an independent church. But if that was it, that would be a very, very bad plan, really. So what we choose to do is I choose to kind of submit to the authority and the insight of apostolic oversight, but kind of my line manager outside of Community Church Blackburn is a guy called Rob Coleman, who's a leader of the Bolton Church. He came and preached this year, but that doesn't mean he's my only oversight and he'll be the only person that I will go to. So there's guys, a guy called Graham Webb, who I will consult, and I will pull on the wisdom and the oversight of people who kind of a bit older, a bit wiser than myself, maybe. So we're well covered with New Frontiers oversight. So New Frontier oversight is the best that I've ever come from. Experience so supportive, and they're really, really, you know, as a church, will be supported and have been supported well by oversight. So the official title is Apostolic Oversight, which is a little A, but they basically stop me being an idiot Yeah? Is yeah?
We've recently, the main kind of source of this oversight is our sphere. So in New Frontiers there are spheres, and you'll know that we're now part of Christ Central Sphere. We were part of Catalyst Sphere. And I can vouch for what Stephen says, really. You know, when we went through some really, really tough times before Stephen became soul leader, really, we had some really, really helpful input and guidance from the Catalyst Sphere, actually, then. But then, obviously, we've moved to Christ Central Sphere because there are more local churches in Christ Central Sphere. So it seemed more obvious, really, to be in fellowship with people at Bolton and Preston and Blackpool and Barnoldswick and Liverpool, rather than Birmingham, like miles away, really. So so the guys that Stephen's talking about are part of Christ Central Sphere, and we can really draw on any of the expertise in Christ Central Sphere or any of the expertise in New Frontiers, to be honest, which is really, really good.
So the oversight of the oversight, so to speak, the guy kind of who probably leads apostolically with a little A, would kind of say, is a guy called Jeremy Simpkins, who you will see if you come into Devoted. And he's a guy who really pioneers in Canada, and he goes all over the world. And if you've come across Jeremy Simpkins, he's absolutely fantastic, but he leads probably about 200-300 church, or he's the oversight for a lot of churches in a lot of countries, really. So our direct oversight or line manager, if it was a business world, it would be Rob Coleman, I would say.
So Jeremy Simpkins is the main guy in Christ Central Sphere.
I think John can quite happily say pastor or church leader, because people ask us who's the pastor and who's the church leader from outside the church. Anyway, yeah, and we'll see Steve. Yeah?
That's right. Respect. It's not whether you want it or not, it's whether we want it. And I think that Pastor Steve is a mark of respect.
I agree.
So call me whatever you want. It's fine. Yeah, so good question, because in all honesty, when I started working full time, I'm like, well, what, and I asked that question, what do I call myself? What do I say I do? It's so it is, but I found, yeah, either leader of the church or yeah, so.
He's just mentioned my mother's church, apostolic. I was brought up at apostolic in Randall Street, 50 odd years. And their system is pastor and elders on their list.
Cool. Right, okay. I think we need to move on, because we're going to run out of time otherwise, and there's a lot more headings on here. So unless there's any burning questions on leadership. Have you got one on communication? Smashing. Right, Christiana.
Right, I'll try to be very quick on this. We have a list, don't we, published with everybody's name and telephone numbers and things on. Situation in a friend's church where somebody came into the church, somebody that everybody liked and got on well with, and they were there a long time and they got alongside people. And then my friend had a knock on the door, and it was the police. And this person was actually a non-paedophile. He didn't have to have any CRB because he didn't do children's work, he didn't do youth work, he wasn't in a situation with anybody on their own. He was just a likeable guy who chatted to people. And my friend was really, really shocked by it. Like, comes, how's this happen? And the police, and you were being targeted, your kids were being targeted. Totally unaware of it. The leadership were totally unaware of it. And on the back of that, one of the police, well, how did you get your number? Well, we have this list, and anybody can. And he said, you Christians are so naive. He said, just the simple thing that you've got a list of addresses, anybody who wants to knows, actually, those addresses, there's nobody in them on a Sunday morning. You need to be waking up. Now, that particular bit doesn't frighten me. I think God protects our homes and stuff. But it has made me think that as Christians, we accept people as they are. And actually, some people are very manipulative, predatory. And what have we got in place to stop that happening here? Because like I said, they didn't need a CIB because they were clever enough not to volunteer to go into children's work or youth work or get any of that. So they didn't need any CIB. But they just befriended people, and we are a friendly bunch. And anybody who walks in here, we will chat to, befriend, and if they're here for a length of time. And you would trust them, and this person would have trusted them with their teenage son who needed a meal loan, but they would have trusted them. And it's just really maybe that what is in place in our church to stop that happening.
So we're sat in a Methodist building, and the Methodists are incredibly hot on child protection. And there is some work to do. So anybody working with children, we're in the process. The majority of people have CRBs, and the majority of people who work with children have been CRB'd. And we've known them for some time. Does that make sense as well? But really, before you do any work with children, from now on, you will need to be CRB'd. Yeah? And we've got, it's taken a long time to sort it all out. We've got a process to do that. We have a child protection policy as well. Part of that over the next year, we'll be doing some kind of safeguarding training as well, which is part of the child protection policy. And it is really important that we've got everything in place to protect children, certainly. So we need to be in regards to the kind of numbers, etc., and the prayer chain, we do kind of have an unwritten process. Does that make sense? So we wouldn't include anybody on the prayer chain or give them numbers unless we've observed them for some period of time. So there's kind of, what'll happen is Jeff will be a period of time, and then he'll almost have a chat with me, and you know, are they okay or whatever, have you, you know, talked to them, and it will only go on after a period of time, and we're confident that you'll never be confident that somebody's safe. Does that make sense? What I mean is you could 100%, there is kind of an unwritten process. If somebody comes to our church that is new, if they've been two or three times, they will probably not realise it, but the chances are I will have had coffee with them. And I asked a lovely question: how did you end up at Community Church Blackburn? That's my devious way, but my way of, I want to know where you've come from, why you've left your church, what's your story, etc. I mean, it sounds sad, because I do want to hear their story as well, but we do have to be confident with the people that we do, and wise with what we let people do on rotas as well. So again, same mechanism, that we wouldn't immediately put somebody on a rota. We'd observe them, we'd put them on a rota after a period of time, and it is a complicated thing, and it's a judgment. So it is very, very important that we do have mechanisms in place. It's important that you don't, for example, let your children go with somebody that you're not entirely confident with. And it's also important that we watch our children as well, and are sensible with what happens. Because again, we're in quite a rough area. Does that make sense? And people coming in and out of this build-up, we need to be, parents including myself, need to be really, real aware. It is important that we're, things are in place, but it's also important that we don't become paranoid and you go crazy with it. Does that make sense? Because we need to give people the benefit of a doubt when talking to them, but we shouldn't put people in positions that we don't know with our children, really, if that makes sense. Is that an okay summary of... pardon?
With regards to
contact numbers and stuff like that, my awareness of it is that Andy and Lynn produced a directory, and that was given to each individual. That isn't anywhere that can be seen from the outside at all. The mobile phone numbers, I am the responsible adult, where people ask me, say, you asked me for Michelle's mobile phone number. I make a judgment call, is that right person to have that right mobile number or not? I sort of go, it's just one of them things, yes it is, yes it's not, it happens all the time. So have you got this number, have you got that number? Even though you've got this piece of paper with it written on, but mobile numbers change. That's it. There's a list of the prayer chain people, which me and Steve knows, on a website which only me and Steve have the access to, and Gina as well, I think, has the access to it as well. The leadership may get the access to that later on if they need it. So everything in regards to contacts are protected as far as we are aware. Some people don't want their home numbers on. I think you were one originally. I try to be as best as I can with communications at all times and sensitive to it. The prayer chain as well. I have had a few issues where people have said that's not what I wanted to go out. But I think I have to say, on the majority, I think everybody's okay with what goes out from what they send. So if anybody has any issues, please come to me and I will try to sort them out as best I can. That's basically it, really.
Can I just say a big thank you to Jeff for all he does with communication, rotors, prayer chain, everything. I've never been in a church where communication has been as good as this, that you know what's going on and when. So a big, big thank you to Jeff.
I do apologise for the late text sometimes, but what happens is, which is very good, and I'd like more of it, is that somebody sends a prayer request and suddenly I have an avalanche of them. Because they suddenly remember there's a prayer chain. It's like, oh yeah. You know what I mean? When really the first thing should be, that needs prayer, and I should be asking for it. Not, oh, yes, we have one. Yeah.
So can I mention just something? Yeah, part of my role is, there are wolves, and we need to be conscious of it, but again, it's so important that we get that balance right, and that balance comes through the leading of the Holy Spirit sometimes. But we do need to be careful,
And the other thing is looking out for each other, looking out for each other's kids as well. You know, if there are new people and you're worried about the way that they're behaving, or you just have a creepy feeling about them, then please come and tell me or Steve, and we'll kind of look into it. Really, so look out for each other. Okay, so what does Stephen do with his time? Does anybody have anything that they would like to ask about what Stephen does with his time?
Why is he always in a coffee shop? I have a coffee shop.
Oh, here you go.
Always at him.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Tell you what, so I'm in another shop.
This is something that Stephen prepared earlier for your delectation and delight.
Can I borrow that?
Yeah.
So the reason, what does Stephen do with his time? Half of the reason is because I don't want you worrying about me. Because you keep going on at me about I'm doing too much. So I did a very complicated calculation, and on average I work 38.5 hours a week in 2017, which is about an average working week, yeah? I'm not doing 90 hour weeks and things like that, and I'm doing 38.5 hours a week, which is pretty much probably the same as Sylvanus does, pretty much as Angela does, in fairness. Teacher, so of course there are weeks where I probably work much more than that. There are weeks where maybe it's just a little bit less or whatever, but overall, so I on average work 38.5 hours a week, which is about, I think, right. And I do manage my time quite well. I try to plan as much as I can. I try to organise and be as effective with my time as I can. The reason with a chart and percentages, I did it for myself as well, is the biggest outgoing financially for a church is my wage. And I think you have a right to know what I do with that time, in fairness, and what I do with the time that you pay for, and whether I'm using it in the right way. So I was quite happy with the results in some ways. But the main thing is, I quite literally, when I first started in June, I went round and asked every other church leader what they did with their time, because I had absolutely no idea what a church leader does 9 to 5 with their church time. It's legitimate. And some people said, oh, you need to go and study the Bible for 3 days a week. And some people said, you need to work on projects, and do this and do that. And some people said, you need... I didn't get the same answer, in fairness, at all. I probably asked 10 different people, got 10 different answers, what they did with the church time. Now, I come from a background of management. Yeah, and that's what God taught me. And that's what I would, in the end, after I thought and prayed about it, what I did. And all good managers know that their people are the most important thing. It's about the people, and discipling. And a lot of discipling just isn't from the front. It's getting to know you. It's shepherding, knowing your sheep. Yeah, getting to know you, spending time with you, asking you about your story, asking about your discipleship, helping you in some circumstances. It's a whole mixture of things, but the most important thing, I feel, as a shepherd. At the moment, that might change. That sounds terrible, as things develop or whatever, but my natural inclination is my people. So that's what I want to spend most of my time doing. That doesn't mean I'm going to get in your face and harass you, but appropriately. Church admin takes a lot. So Blackburn churches together, I've spent a lot of time engaging us with other Blackburn churches. And I do spend a lot of time drinking coffee with other church leaders, building relationship with them. So I've got coffee with Father Frankie on Friday, yeah? Because I want to know I'm a bit nosy, but I want to encourage and cheer on other brothers and sisters in Christ. And also that time is around the Rise meetings, the Rise prayer meetings, different things like that. And it's so important. Some of it's service preparation, time with Christ Central. I spend a lot of time with Andy Williams, who's the church plant in Preston, and I go once a month to Bolton for a kind of a group church hub prayer thing, and then different things, and a little bit of time on study. That sounds like I don't read anything, does it? It's terrible. But that's I was happy with that. I don't know what you guys think. That might change. Does that make sense, what I do with my time? But I thought you had, because it's the biggest expenditure for a church, you're right to know. What I also do is I also send to the leadership team a rough breakdown of what I'm going to be doing that week. And that just helps them. If you've got any questions, where I am, what am I doing? And it gives them, and also it's helpful to me because it makes me accountable as well. So that doesn't go, I don't go into detail, I just go pastoral meeting, or I'll go meeting with church leaders, or a very rough breakdown. Monday will tend to be my day off. Yeah, so Mondays I try and just set aside for either Lisa or the kids, because part of me leading the church is leading my family. And half the time is spent chatting about church anyway, where we're Lisa very often. But sometimes I use Monday to reflect as well after Sunday or whatever. So that's kind of the breakdown of my week. If you want to know what I'm doing at any point, just ask me or ask one of the leadership. We're trying to get more on the prayer, because what I would like to do is put more on the prayer chain about what I'm doing during the week as well. But we haven't quite developed how we're going to do that, really. But that's something. So that's what we do with our time. Is that...
Any questions on Stephen's time, or comments, or anything? Any feedback on Stephen's time?
tend to have Monday as your day off, because then, you know, as much as possible, we'll try not to bother you. Because I think I found out last week, actually, that you did Monday's your day off. So I think I've texted you on Mondays before now. So it's important. It's important, though, that we know that, and we try and give you that day of rest, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree.
So the reason I've not said anything, because, again, I quite honestly didn't know the rhythm of my week. Does that make sense? So I didn't know how my week would work out and how things kind of work out. So, but yeah, so Monday's the day that I tend to... So I'll not do anything. Does that make sense? I'll spend time with Lisa, and I will specifically spend time with my children as well on that day. So, yeah. But if it's a massive crisis, you need to contact me. Does that make sense? Don't panic.
The Blackburn Churches Together, does that include Rise?
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Right. Marching on. Does anybody have anything to ask or say? Comment, feedback, encouragement about Sunday morning services? What a fantastic time we have, don't we? Do you not love our Sunday morning services? You not feel really good about coming every Sunday? I think a lot of us do, don't we? I think they're brill, absolutely brill. If anybody doesn't, well, you're all here, so that's...
it works, yeah.
Thanks very much. Yeah, yes, the Sunday service is... what Stephen was saying about meeting other leaders, I think that's absolutely tremendous, and I think that probably... will tie in with the Sunday services, because it's all to do with unity, and it's all to do with the Holy Spirit and unity, and it's just brilliant, because I know for a fact Stephen meets this bloke, that bloke, all over the show, and it's tying together, and, you know, I'm sure this is what God... Well, he does. He does want this. He wants a unity, and it's just brilliant what you're doing. And you're one of the leaders of bringing unity together, Steve. And I think that's absolutely wonderful. And the services. Well, yes, we just want more of the Holy Spirit for everybody. And it's coming. The presence is it's really tangible, and we just ask for more and. Yeah, it'll come. Yeah, thank you.
Anybody else?
We need to use this microphone more often, because for people who can't hear, it's really important. Yeah, so all the leaders need to be conscious of the fact that if you need an order, you need somebody else to do it, that we walk around. But also, if you've got something to say, let us know so we can bring the mic to you as well, so nobody misses it then.
Great.
With the Sunday morning service, what sort of time span are you hoping, or do you think we should have? Should it be sort of 10:30 to 12, 10:30 to 12:30? Only after a certain amount of time, I must admit, my mind starts to go. So what sort of time frame are we really sort of looking at?
That's a fantastic question. With the Sunday morning services, there's a balance to be made, okay? And that balance is that we need to honour each other. Does that make sense? In the timings of things and the leading of it. But on the flip side, we don't want to lock it down, so we have to finish an exact time. One of the things that we really want to do is... we've done quite a lot, and we've had quite a few objectives over the last 6 months. We haven't changed anything radically, but we've tweaked things, really, and things tweak as they go on. So the first thing is we wanted to start on time, yeah, because it relates to let our yes be yes and our no be no. And if it says we start at 10:30, let's try and start at 10:30, yeah, because I think it's not rigidly, it's nobody's in trouble, but it's just, let's just try and start on time. I think that will be the first thing. The other thing is, Monday Sunday morning service. Well, first of all, the rota is an incredibly complicated, complex piece of work. And we actually, I always say this to Jeff, but we do big church operation with small church amount of people. Yeah, so actually, there is nobody that does not serve in some capacity at church. There's nobody who just is lazy. Does that make sense? Everybody serves at this church. It's incredible. You know, and you know, I remember times gone past, people used to go, oh, the people, why won't they help? Why won't they do? That's not the case. Everybody's working and doing everything that they can. So just really to big you up, be patient with us with the rota, because it is so complicated. It's me and Jeff kind of like scratch our heads and do, you know, it's a massive operation. It is sorting out the rota. Can I really encourage you to send your holidays to Jeff as well? That is massively helpful. We're going to say, but there's consideration. So I would say we're aiming to start at 10:30. We're aiming to finish around 12 o'clock. But what's really important is that we have a good balance of things. So previously we've had maybe too long of the preach and too little of other things. And what we want to do is make space. Does that make sense? So we want to make space for contributions, for prayer, for all sorts of different things that take, but for prophecies, for the worship as well, and we want to really, really work on that. We won't always get it right. We won't always get it right, but that's what we're aiming to do. When we've got a visiting preacher as well, or somebody like that, we'll give them a little bit more leeway as well. So I know like the last 2 weeks probably gone on 25 minutes longer than it should have done. But I think in special circumstances, I'm going for that's generally all right. Is that all right? But that's what we're aiming. We're aiming for around 12 o'clock. Because the other thing as well is, obviously the children's workers, it gets very long for them. And actually sometimes, I don't know whether this is heresy, but you can get spiritual indigestion, can't you, sometimes, when there's too many messages and too much going on and whatever. And we want to really, so everybody who's leading worship, preaching, need to be conscious and honour each other, if that makes sense. Because, and what we need to, so if the worship goes on too long, that cuts from the preach. If the leading goes on too long, that takes away from the worship. If the preach goes on too long, it takes away from the rest. So we need to honour each other and be wise. But I don't want to say 5 minutes for this, 5 minutes for that. I want flexibility and wisdom, but obviously space.
Any more thoughts about Sunday morning services? All right, then we'll move on then to youth. Does anybody have any questions, thoughts, reflections? Youth and children. Youth and children. We've got fantastic youth and fantastic children, haven't we? We are so blessed with our youth and children. They really are such a blessing to us. There's a lot of churches that don't have many children, you know, and we're so blessed with ours.
This is not to put you on the spot and have you answering, okay, but I just wonder whether we actually ask the youth what they think of Sunday morning services, what they find helpful, whether they find it's relevant to their life.
I'm not you, so I can't answer that. Unless you answer it, Isaac. Yeah. So with children's work and youth work, there is an incredible, complicated balance to make. Because what we really want to do, we really need three classes. So we really need a creche that's operating if we're going to really move. We really need kind of a junior stroke infant. No, it's more junior, isn't it? Junior. And we also really need a youth kind of group, the olders, really. And that's what, in a perfect world, what we would really, really want to do is have those running pretty much every week. We've had to make a balancing act because we didn't have a, so we really stretched our tents this year, and we really want to open a creche and have the facility for mums to leave, or grandparents, or whatever, to leave their children sometime and be able to, for them to be cared for and whatever. And again, we kind of have Pete and Beth coming. They come with four kids and babies. And again, if we want to grow, we want children and young families. And where we stretch our tent in preparation, God will fill. But to do that, with the finite amount of people that we have, we had to make some difficult choices about how often the youth go out. Now, in previous times, once you hit 12 years old at Community Church Blackburn, you stayed in the service. That was it. That's all that happened, and tough was there. But what we want to do, we really want to have an opportunity for the young people to be. Kind of helped and taught. So the young people go out once every other week. But when they're not out, what we also want to do, because they're not children, they're young people and they need to learn responsibility and service. So where we can, we try and get them serving. So we've had a new thing in the service where we've got a lot of our young people are singing and leading worship. And from the front, we'll have people serving on the back. People like, so my Amy, with the assistance of Lisa, led the younger Sunday school class this morning. We really want to disciple our young people. Yeah, and in the perfect world, we want them every week, maybe. But we use a resource, and we have to make some difficult choices. Yeah. But yeah, is that helpful?
Yeah, just a second. What Steve says, really, you know, the young people are young people, really, and we do want to disciple them. So we do take them out alternate weeks, but it's really good for them to be involved, and they are fantastic doing what they're doing, aren't they? Isn't it encouraging seeing like Isaac and Keris and Fiona leading worship? It lifts us, doesn't it, to see the youth kind of coming into ministry, really. So I think, I don't know what you think, Isaac, really, but we're very, very blessed to have you in the service. The other thing is to make what we've tried to make a conscious effort, certainly the people who are preaching in the church, to make the preaches more accessible to everybody, really. That includes the youth. So knowing that the youth are in, making sure that the preaches are short enough, concise enough, straightforward enough, challenging enough for young people and for everybody, really. Do you want to comment, Isaac? We would love to hear from you. Talk to us about Sunday mornings, what you think.
Or you, what you think.
I don't know what to think.
Just say whatever you think.
I don't know. What do you think about youth and Sundays and youth in the church? How do you find it being a young person?
I like that, how we get involved with the services, like in worship and like just in general.
You like being involved?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because
really
it gives us responsibility in the church.
And you like that?
Yeah.
Do you like going out, though, as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's some really cool people that teach you, like Delicia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you could make one change, is there a change that you would make on a Sunday morning?
Ooh, now then. Ooh.
Something.
Go on.
Yeah,
it's good. Anything you'd change about Sunday morning? If you were in charge.
I don't really know.
You can go away and think about it and come back.
You prefer being in your group or being here at morning?
I like being in the group, but I'd also like being in the service. Yeah. But it's kind of hard.
You think we've got the balance right?
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes no. Because sometimes...
Go on.
Sometimes I think... I don't know.
It's good, yeah. No, hang on. It's just coming. It's just getting to it. Go on.
I don't know anymore.
Sometimes the balance is right and sometimes the balance is not quite. Go on, how?
I don't know. I think it's like sometimes, like, the amount of times we get out in the service, like sometimes we're in the service, sometimes we're in the youth group, but sometimes it's like random. Like, it'd be nicer to be on like a scheduled basis.
which is what we've just done, isn't it? Making it alternate again now. Because there was a time at the end of last year when it wasn't really alternate, was it? It was quite a few times that you were in and then out. Yeah. Hopefully we've got that one straight now. Okay, thank you. Any more for questions on youth and children? Okay, super. Right, prayer then. Does anybody have any questions, comments, thoughts about prayer? We're really interested in this. I think Jeff mentioned this morning in the meeting. We're really interested in your thoughts. Obviously, the prayer chain is awesomely successful. So we pray for each other a lot. We pray for things a lot. And our prayer is really powerful and effective. And we see amazing answers to prayer all the time. But we don't seem to have cracked the notion of getting together to pray. Because wherever, whenever, however we've scheduled the prayer meetings, we'll probably only get a handful of people there. So has anybody got any thoughts on how we can get more people to pray? Obviously, it's a spiritual battle. We know that the enemy doesn't want us to get together to pray. So, and if you talk to people in most churches, really, they'll say that the prayer meetings are small or, you know, not that well attended. But we don't have to accept that, do we? We can make our prayer meetings really exciting and vibrant and well attended. So any thoughts about that? Go on, Chris.
I think I'd like to see, and I don't know how it would work because this isn't our building, but I think I'd like to see times of a place being open for people to come and pray and go and maybe have prayer stations, maybe have sort of exploring different ways of praying, really. Exploring different ways of praying and it being something that you could have a day of prayer that people could come in and go out, and some of it might be led together, but some of it might be quiet and more reflective, but that there would be things, visuals and things to encourage people to meet with God and listen to God.
Good plan. Oop.
During my recent illness, I noticed all the prayers on my mobile phone that now works, but mainly through visits and people actually praying for me, and I felt lifted, spiritually lifted, although I was physically not too well. I felt spiritually lifted and I felt closer to God than what I felt for a long, long time. And I could feel the prayer, it just uplifted me, yeah.
I think we were challenged this morning, weren't we, about having a set time and a set place to pray. And I think if it's done over like whether people come or not, if it's done over a set period of like 3 months, a set time, a set place, I think people would gain the momentum to come if they knew it was on every time rather than once a month or once a 2 months. I think a weekly prayer time where it's open to anybody could be what was being preached on this morning.
Oh, yeah.
I just got the most Sundays you do offer prayer, don't you? So yeah, it is there, but it's not set but it is set because it's offered. Yeah, so I mean, the only extension of that, if that's the right word to use, is to have a prayer team, and I think you've got a prayer team. Yeah, there's certain people that come and pray.
unless you want to extend that a little bit more, but you certainly offer prayer at the end, and I think that's really important, that it, you know, for to be ended like that, because that's when, you know, the Holy Spirit can come in and we do marvellous things.
I just want to shed some light on that. I extend the invitation for people who are available for Sunday morning. It's not my thing, but it's for us to get together and pray before the service starts. Even if I'm not here, you can go in there and start praying. When we come, we just go in there and started to pray. See God for the service. See God for everything that's going on that morning, and see God interceding on other people's behalf, you know. So we still do it, and I will still encourage people to come out and pray. Don't just wait for me or wait for Stephen or wait for anybody else. If you come early, you're free. We can go into that room there, and we can start praying and intercede on the church behalf and others, and we will continue to join you. Okay?
I just want to say, I think you're right, Pete, in the fact that if you had it on a weekly basis at a set time, I think that would work a lot better. I was just sort of sat here thinking that we've all come out here tonight, 7 till 9. Mm. Maybe it could be tweaked a little bit, 6:30 till 8:30. I think it's a good time for people on a Sunday evening or, you know, maybe one day of the week. But I think because people are, like, working during the week, but if we've all managed it tonight... Mm.
Yeah.
Why can't we, you know,
manage it more
often. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. That was my thought as well, that the prayer meetings we've had so far, I think, have all been on a Friday night. It's been a bit hit and miss when whether I can get there or not, and I'm sure it's the same for everybody else, but maybe to try it on different nights and see what the turnout is, to try it on a Sunday. And see if that will work, and just you know, maybe just to set it at an hour for the first few times to see how many people come, and also maybe to have like different topics. So you know, 1 week pray for children's work, 1 week pray for, you know, not that we wouldn't pray for other things, but you know, the focus would be on one particular aspect. And you would be led into praying for other things as well. Yeah.
Cool.
And I wonder about, I mean, I know it's good to come together, but I wonder about having sort of set times that we encourage people that wherever you are at that time, then spend 10 minutes, 15 minutes in prayer, so that actually we're all pausing at some point in a day to actually pray for what God's doing here. So it's not I've got to sort the kids out, I've got to get, but it's like, right, I'm at home, it's 7 o'clock, I'm going to go to my room for 15 minutes because the church is praying tonight at that time.
Do you want that?
Yeah. So I kind of want to encourage you, really, because it sounds like, oh, we don't have prayer enough, blah, blah. But Community Church Blackburn is saturated in prayer. It's saturated. So from the prayer chain, so it's interesting when you see somebody from outside come into our church. So just like, for example, Pete has just kind of seen, and Beth have seen the prayer. It blew their mind. And a lot of the reason that we are so close as a church and is because we pray for each other. And that is taking place. How many prayer, on average, prayer chain messages are going out a day? Yeah.
I have unlimited text.
Yes.
I had to change my contract to be unlimited text because we were. So I thought I better change the contract because it goes out. It's one text to you, but there are 36 people on the project. Four
do the maths.
Yeah. 2 days, back, 17 people.
Mm.
And that's how much prayer goes out.
Yeah.
And what I would encourage you to do.
I'm not quite sure what happened, right? Steve catches up with people on the with the prayer chain goes out because that's his job, right? He sort of, my understanding of it is he contacts the people that have asked for a prayer request. But if you've asked for a prayer request and you've had an answer to prayer or a healing or something, then it's really good for everybody to know about it. And that part of the prayer chain doesn't function very well because nobody texts me back saying, yes, that's really been good. That's gone well today. I've got a job. This, this, and this. It sometimes does, but it's a very, it doesn't happen very much, but it's a great encourager for people to say, boom, that really worked.
You just.
Do we contact your personal number?
Yes.
Because I think we've had a couple of occasions where I think you'd sent a message, hadn't you, and it just went out to everybody and it ended up being quite funny.
I'll explain.
How it works is because there are 36 people. Approximately on the prayer chain, if I sent a text message to 36 people all in one group, it would take forever to send, and then it'll get lost, and then it keeps going backwards and forwards. And sometimes you'll receive three, because that's what was happening originally. So you get three of the same thing. You go, why have I got three? And then the last person on the list would never get it. Why didn't I get something? So I've split it into groups. So for instance, what happened with Michael was there is a group that is based upon people with iPhones, right? It's free to send on iPhones. It's quicker than anything else, even though Steve would hate that because he's an Android philistine. But that's what happens. But it's one of the quirks of Apple in that particular circumstance. It's a group thing and anybody can hear it, see it. So if you return that test message on a
the thing is, if you want a prayer request, you send it to Jeff, okay, on a new message. If you reply to a prayer chain request, then it will go to everybody in your group. Okay, so you just have to be careful about that. Okay, I've fallen foul of it as well. I've sent some very intimate messages in the early days of the prayer chain. Some very intimate messages went to a certain group of people because I just replied to Jeff on the prayer chain. Okay, so if you want a prayer chain request, just send it on a new message to Jeff alone. Don't reply to the prayer chain because it will go to everybody in your group.
So there is an incredible sort. So Sunday mornings, I don't believe it's very rare to come across a church who will pray out. I mean, this morning people prayed. That happens weekly. You know, so don't beat yourself up about there's not many people at the prayer meeting. But what we do. We need to remove as many obstacles as we can to the church coming together. I'm praying and asking God for stuff, really, because that's a special holy thing, but you do have to balance that with people have lives and families and children. So you've got to get the balance between, so you have a Wednesday night, you'll have your growth group, and then say you've got a Friday night, you've got your prayer evening, then a Tuesday night you might have a Rise event, and then you've got another event, you know, Saturday you've got Healing on the Streets. So it's getting the balance. And it takes a lot of wisdom sometimes, and we don't always get it right. So we're praying about how we pray, a specific type of prayer. Community Church Baba does pray. We pray for each other deeply. We pray an awful lot, but it's a specific kind of prayer that what we want to do is move obstacles to do that, where the church comes together. Because in all things, we need to pray Like, everything depends on God. If you want to see revival, like we were talking about this morning, we need to pray to God and get on our knees and pray, because everything depends on Him. Yeah, and we also need to do like everything depends on us as well. We need to do both together. But yeah, so we'll be praying about, we're working out what the best thing. If anybody's got any cunning plans, shout, email us. But certainly I will be praying and thinking about in leadership what we do.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
On a Sunday morning, I know prayer is welcomed, but you know, it's open there for everybody. But I've been in a church before where there was actually a prayer ministry team. If anybody wants prayer, you then knew who to go to. I mean, there might be some people who might not be comfortable, somebody approaching them and saying, "Would you pray for me?" Then that person might not feel comfortable in that. But I think knowing who that person you could go to, that was just a thought, yeah. You know.
We have thought about that, haven't we? Go on.
It was on the agenda for the last leadership meeting, was a prayer team, certainly. So it's something we need to do. We'll figure it out. And again, some of it's to do with resource. Sometimes it's to do with what's happening. So it's on the agenda.
Okay, right. We are going to finish at 9 o'clock, and we're going to have 5 minutes of prayer. So that gives you 5 minutes, or gives us 5 minutes, to ask any questions that you have about relationships with other churches in Christ Central, work with the poor, evangelism, building, and church vision and purpose.
Well done, Angela.
Okay, so does anybody have any questions, comments, encouragements, thoughts about any of those five areas? I've made you all quiet now, haven't I? Because I've said there's a time limit.
My comment would just be about the relationship with other churches and with Christ Central, particularly with this RISE initiative going on, but also with HOTS as well. We can't possibly do HOTS on our own. We need the other churches on board. So, you know, the relationships are absolutely vital.
And as they said this morning, a springboard for revival as well. Very important. Yeah. Sorry, Sue?
No, it's just about the building, really. It's, you know, the two windows there. We just thought there could be some sort of blind or something, because when you sat at the front, it really shines in your eyes and everything.
Yeah. Mm.
Good thought.
Sorry, this is something I meant to bring and I forgot to say. I did wonder on Sunday mornings in the services if occasionally we could maybe ask one of our Iranian friends to pray in their own language, or even maybe they sing a song to us in their language, because I feel they sit there every Sunday, you know, listening to us in our tongue, in our language, and it'd just be so nice and such a blessing to us, wouldn't it, for them to pray or sing or something. And maybe even we could try and learn one chorus or something in their language, that would just, you know, because I think it would just be a blessing to us and them.
I agree. Yeah.
I have encouraged them all to pray in Iranian. They're a little bit shy sometimes, so I'm working on it. And certainly we could learn an Iranian song. Hamed is actually a fantastic musician. He's actually writes. There's a beautiful song that he wrote, which is just incredible worship song, really. I can't. He's a better singer than me. I will encourage him. Which he wrote in Iran before he got here, actually. So it's something we're on the radar. I want to just touch on vision, if you know more questions. So our vision is quite simply this: is what's stuck there is the purpose of the church. Remember, up, down, out. Yeah. And so our vision is loving God, loving people, building God's kingdom. Okay, and that's our vision. And what that means in essence is we need to be a people that glorify God and worship God through grace and through mercy and through worship and through the way that we conduct ourselves on a Sunday morning, on body ministry. God needs to be glorified in as many ways in our life as we possibly can, and that is up. Yeah, so we will worship, we will loving God, yeah? We need to have faith, we need to have great, we have all these things, that's the worship part. And the down, we need to be building as disciples, yeah? So I don't want you sat, I'm not going to teach you about God. You need to go away and figure it out yourself. Well, I'll help you a bit, but really, I can tell you the truth. We can preach scripture to you. We can preach, but you know, we want you to build in your discipleship, and that's just not necessarily actually studying the Bible. It's a large part of it, but I want you to go out there and do as much damage for the kingdom of God where you are. It's just not me. You know, go give Satan a kicking. Yeah, go into your schools. Go preach. Do sow as many seeds for the kingdom of God as you possibly can. But you learn through doing. Yeah, you don't learn just through hearing. You learn through doing, and faith builds through doing. So that's the vision. We want to really build as a people. We need to be. Be disciples and make disciples. Yeah, does that, God makes disciples, but you know what I mean. That's what. And then out, building God's kingdom, preaching the gospel, declaring the good news of the kingdom of God. Yeah, and that's through work with the poor. That's through social action. That's through preaching the gospel. That's through your testimony. That's through whatever we can do. That's the vision. So my vision is not to build a big numerical church, although if that is God's will, that's what God will do. But I want God to be glorified and God's kingdom to be built in Blackburn and Darwin. And I really want to do, when I die, I want to meet Jesus and say, well done, good and faithful servant. And I want that for all you as well. Yeah? So it's not just hearing the gospel, it's doing all these things. So catchy vision statement. If you think so, it's up, down, out, and we will assist you in all those things. So if you want to learn more about God, we will help you do that through whatever. That's our vision. Does that? Because we want to see the kingdom of God in Blackburn. Do you not want to see a revival in Blackburn? Yeah, and that means the growing and the growth of all churches in Blackburn as one people. Different, but taking the land out. You'll hear that over and over and over and over again. Yeah. So, probably waffling, but that's my heart. That's vision. We will never be a slick. I'm not saying this over, but objective is not Hillsong. So we don't want to be Hillsong. Or there's nothing but Hillsong. But that's not. So we want to be a church that is, it's, you know, family orientated. You know, not. I have nothing against middle class people, Angela. Who are like, our church will be messy. If you want something slick, go somewhere else. Yeah, because that's not our objective. Perfection is not our objective. Our objective is for God to be glorified in this place, through our lives, and building God's kingdom here. Yeah, and where I want to see revival, I'm bored of talking about it. I want to see it. I'm bored. I'm reading Acts. I want to see that, because God can do that. And I don't know about you lot, but I want to see that. Do you want to see that? Yeah, do you want to see healings? Do you want to see the gospel? Do you want to be in so much trouble because you've just turned the town you live in upside down for the kingdom of God? Yeah, that's what I want to see. I want to see it. And I want God needs to do it. We need to pray for it, but we need to do it as well. And give, cheekily say, Satan a kick in. And so Isaiah 6, 61 as well. That's what, so to mourn with those, good news to the, you'll hear that over and over again. Yeah, kingdom of God, good news. So that's the vision. Is that helpful?
Right, okay, we are very nearly out of time. My watch is 5 minutes further on than that. I think we're very near 9 o'clock. Okay, so I'm going to ask two people to pray for us, okay? One of them is Jeanette. Are you ready to pray for us? to pray for the church, yeah? The other person, I think, will be Michelle. Okay? Two ladies. Okay, so, Jeanette and Michelle, if you can pray for us and we'll just pray, yeah?
Father, we're gathered together here tonight to glorify you. And we've come to do the business of your church. And we pray, Lord, that you will cleanse all our hearts, that you will triumph over all the evil in our hearts and the evil in the land. But most of all, Lord, we ask for your blessing on this church, that you will triumph over anything. This is not your will. And that you'd help us, Lord, you'd free us to let the things that are in our hearts come out of our mouths. Free us to pray freely, to really give you the glory that we want to give you. Help us not to be inhibited in our praise. Help us seek to do your will. Help us, Lord, to be exactly what you made us to be. We ask it, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, I just really thank you that you are a good, good God. I just really thank you for this church and the blessings that you have given this church. I commit all the things that we have been talking about tonight, Lord, and all the questions that have been asked. Lord, I just pray that we as a church will continue to glorify you and to give damage to the kingdom, like Steve was talking about. We want revival, Lord, in Blackburn, and we want to see more people grow in this church. Mm. Lord, I just want to commit everything to you tonight. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you are such a wonderful, precious God and that you're with us every single step of every day, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Pretty much on time. If you've got any other questions or things that you want to say, obviously, just talk to Stephen or any of the leaders. It's financial, Gina.
Just one last thing. I think we've done a different format tonight. I hope you've been happy with that. I think Steve's been very, very open in everything that he's said. And one thing I discussed with him before was, we had if you want to come to one of the leadership meetings to see how decisions are made, you are free to do so. We have no secrets at all. It is not like that. So if you want to have a guest person to come, you know, like, we don't want everybody coming. It'll be like one a time or whatever. But we have no secrets. This church is as open as it can be. So just raise your hand anytime you want to come to one. When you see it on there that we're going to do a leadership meeting, yeah, it's open. Yes, Steve? Yeah.
Lisa will batter me. You've got these cards. We've got loads of we did have loads of these, but if we've got some more. But if you want kind of business cards for Community Church Blackburn, just to give to your friend or whatever you want to do with it, please shout Lisa because they're there. We've ordered them for you, and there. So, amen.
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 Last thing. Friday night, it's a prayer meeting, and yes, it is our house. And if anybody wants to know where we live before we leave, just grab us and we'll give you directions and let you know. Please come, because I'm going to give you cake. And if you leave the cake for me to eat, I'll be really cross with everybody. You're very, very welcome. But if you need to catch us to find out where it is, just catch us now.
Send
okay.
The address out on the prayer chain.
I thought we weren't doing that.